Good to come under the Lord's word again tonight, and it's a privilege to share it, privilege to stand before God and before men. And that's what takes place, doesn't it, every time the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the word occurs, takes place. I stand before God, I stand before men. And so I need the Lord, and I need your prayer, and we need to search the scriptures and seek the face of God. In our day, we surely do need it. Let's pray. Let's come to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that we can gather as your people, Lord. You are the God of life. Oh Lord, in you there is no darkness whatsoever. You are light and you are life. And we thank you, Lord, that those who fear you, those who long for your courts, those who thirst for you, Lord, even in a dry and barren land, they will find life. Not a counterfeit, not a substitute, not something that appeals or entertains or gives short happiness, but Lord, that which endures forever, that joy, that contentment which is from above. And so, Lord, we thank you that we can come to you tonight and hear from you. And Lord, bless this word, I pray, to each one in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm glad there's a number of children with us tonight. This is very appropriate for you all as well. And it is a blessing to fear God. One child actually asked me a few weeks ago, saying, how can we fear God? How can we be afraid of God, fear him in a right way? Coming from a child. What is this relationship with a holy and awesome and majestic God? How can we understand it? How can we know it? And it's something that will take our whole life to work out, won't it? It'll take all our days to understand how we have this wonderful relationship in awe of a living God. And yet, we're not terrorized. We're not afraid. And so tonight I want to speak on the topic of fearing God. Again, fear God and you will not fear. Fear God and you will not fear. And you know, the scriptures in Luke 12, as we have been looking at this one verse now for some time and just gleaning so much from it, I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body. Luke 12:4, and it talks about fearing him who has all power, even all power to cast into hell. But then suddenly there's a switch in verse 6, a switch to the sparrow, a switch to the smallest of creatures who's not forgotten before God, and a switch to the very hairs of your head, which are all numbers. And the Lord says to us, do not fear, therefore, you're of more value than many sparrows. No fear. If we fear God, we will have no fear. You know, people hide their fears, but many and most of the world has a fear of something, even if it's a fear of dying. But men suppress and hide that fear, but they have fear of natural things, of natural disasters, of a loss of possessions, of a loss of work, of a loss of loved ones. There are genuine and real fears in man, but the fear of God is unlike that. The fear of God, that holy and awesome and majestic awe of God, is different. And last time I spoke, a couple of weeks back now, the security. We spoke on the security for those who fear the Lord, eternal security in him. They who trust in him, as we've been singing tonight, placing our care and our trust in him, in our Heavenly Father. This is by far the most important thing. Children, this is the most important thing that you can ever do, placing your trust in your Heavenly Father. And the salvation of our souls, the salvation of your soul, our eternal security is what we considered. Now consider the care of our Lord. Consider our day to day and that we should not fear. Proverbs 3:24 has an insight into this. If you turn to the proverb, please. And there's a few verses here which have a wonderful insight. Into how we should not be afraid of anything that comes our way. Proverbs 3:24 says, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. There was a time in my life where I got a little bit too involved in the end times scene, and you know, it became more of a fear to me than faith in my life as a younger Christian. And you know, this verse rung very clearly to me at this time, and the Lord comforted me and made it very clear and rebuked me gently, but he rebuked me and he said, do not be afraid of sudden terror. You know, we had the events of 9/11, we have the terrorists running around, we have all of these things going on in the world. The Lord says, do not be afraid of sudden terror. For the Lord's people, this is an assurance, this is a comfort. When something's going to happen, the Lord prepares his people. When something's going to take place in the world, when something's going to take place in your life, even difficulties, even hardship, the Lord will prepare his people. This is the great blessing of the Lord, isn't it? That he doesn't leave us as orphans. He doesn't leave us comfortless. But if we walk in the fear of God, if we walk in his ways, as the psalmist says, we will not be afraid of sudden terror. When we lie down, we will not be afraid. Our rest will be sweet. We don't need to worry about the trouble from the wicked when it comes, for the Lord is our confidence. Isn't that a blessing? Do not fear sudden terror. That's one little glimmer, one little scripture I held on to for a long time. Do not fear sudden terror. Do not fear sudden terror. The Lord provides. The Lord keeps his people. You know, the end times, it's a big topic, isn't it? The beginnings of pains, the birth pangs. We see the events of the world. We see the disasters. Brother Steve Mayer, who was here with us last week, is in the Philippines, right in the midst of all that trauma that's just taking place in that land. And, you know, a lot of the churches and a lot of the people in lands in the Middle East and so forth, they believe they're in the midst of the tribulation. They actually believe they're in the midst of the tribulation. These things which are spoken of in Scripture, the fears, the terrors, the destruction, the calamities, the death, the sorrow, these are all happening in a real way. We are so far removed from these things in this nation, in the sense of the intensity of those things that are taking place. Men shall faint, but do not fear. Men's hearts will faint around. But the Lord says to us, do not fear. And the proverb says also, the fear of the Lord leads to life. Proverbs 19 verse 23. The fear of the Lord leads to life. Leads to life. And he who has it will abide in satisfaction. We heard Pastor speaking on the topic of contentment in these weeks. How we are to be content in him, in the Lord, in his provision, in his keeping, in his safety. He who has it will abide in satisfaction and says he will not be visited with evil. That's worth reading again. The fear of the Lord leads to life. And he who has it, he who possesses what? Life or the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord. He who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. But yes, if we have the fear of the Lord, we also have life. True and eternal life. You know those stickers that people have on their cars, no fear, in this, you know, interesting writing, no fear. And then some folks created their own version of that saying, fear God, in the same type of lettering. Well, you know, the natural man, the carnal man, doesn't understand that. Doesn't understand the fear of God. The natural and carnal man, but the believer, the one who's sanctified and saved, he walks in the fear of God. He knows the fear of the Lord, and the fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who possesses it, he will not be visited with evil. Does that mean that bad things don't happen to Christians? No. As we heard this morning, James expounding a precious word with us, that gospel, you know, it doesn't promise us as happiness and this, you know, life free from ill and free from harm. But the Lord says that he is our refuge. The Lord says that in him we ought not to fear. Do not fear, therefore, You're of more worth than many sparrows. You know, the Lord prepared his people. The Lord prepares. It's a common testimony today of believers that the Lord was preparing them for a hardship. The Lord was preparing for a trial. The Lord says he does not leave us comfortless. He does not leave us as orphans. So the Bible says, do not fear sudden terror. And he says, those who fear the Lord will not be visited with evil, and the wicked, as the scripture says. The fear of the Lord tends to life. The fear of the Lord gives life. It's not this destructive fear, as people have, a fleshly, worldly fear that leads to death. But the Lord's fear, the true fear of God, gives true contentment, gives true peace, as we've heard in these weeks, a life and satisfaction. Psalm 46, let's have a look at that. What an encouragement we have in this psalm. Psalm 46 and verses 1 through to 3. God is our refuge and strength. You touched on that, brother, in the time of worship. The refuge, the abiding in the shadows of the Almighty. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed. And you know what? The earth is going to be removed. The Lord says that this place he created, which once saw a flood, a great cataclysmic flood, is reserved for judgment, reserved for fire. It will not be a flood, it will be fire. The scripture teaches us that. But we're not to fear sudden terror, for God is our refuge. God's people have a refuge, have a shelter in the cleft of the rock. It is found in Christ. He is our strength and a very present help. He is not a God afar off. He's not a God that cannot be communed with, that cannot have fellowship with. He is one who is very near to us. I gave the example at the beginning of this series of the God of Islam, who's no God at all. God Allah, who's no God at all, who cannot be approached, who is a condemning and a strict and a harsh God, who must be reverenced and in such an extreme way, who cannot be approached. You cannot know fellowship with him. Our God, the living God whom we know, is not so. He is one who does not terrorize his people. He's not a father walking around with a rod seeking to terrorize his children. He is an awesome and loving and majestic God, one who carries us, one who shelters us, but one we ought to give due reverence and due fear. And so God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, who? We, God's people, the world will fear. The world will fear, as we heard James expound this morning, every knee shall bow one day, every tongue will confess. And for some, it will be in the judgment. But we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Wow. Consider that in the tsunamis, in the earthquakes, where literally mountains are moved. Consider that we, God's people, will not fear. Though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, God is our refuge. The world is experiencing birth pangs. It is experiencing calamities, wars and rumors of wars. These are continuing things. These things will intensify and draw to a close for the day of the Lord. Yet God's people are not to fear. When men's hearts fail them, how many people who put their trust in so much, you know how much of the population is on antidepressant drugs? You know how much of the population is on medications, how many children are on medications across this land and across the Western world? People fearing, men's hearts failing them. You know, it's true. We have everything we need in this land, and there are so many suicides. Oh, the spiritual condition. Men who are apart from God, men who do not fear, men, women, and children who don't fear the Lord. They don't know his refuge. They don't know his comfort. They don't know his strength. We have security in Christ. We have abundant blessings. The Bible says the fear of the Lord leads to life. We possess life, friends, when we possess Christ. We have hope in His return. We don't have a terror or a fear in that. We look to the heavens for our salvation. The Lord Jesus who was ascended up, and the men stood gazing. And the angel said, "You men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing?" What a funny rebuke. What an interesting, what are you doing? "You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing?" Can you imagine their awe and wonder? And the angels say, "The same Lord Jesus, the same Lord will return the same way as you have seen Him depart from you." And so our salvation, our eternity in heaven is nearer than the day we first believed. And for us all, and for children, for us it's not a day of fear or a day of terror. The end of time, the coming of the Lord, it is a day of rejoicing. It is a day of hope. It is a day of departing from all that is temporary, all that is filled with sorrow and care and trouble and trial. Our salvation, our redemption is nearer than the day we first believed, friends. You know, that sparrow is at the mercy of the predator. That sparrow the Lord spoke about. He is there in that nest, and yet the Lord cares and tends. How much more worth are you than many sparrows? Those who trust in the Lord shall not faint. They shall rise up with wings as eagles. One of the verses of the songs tonight speaks about that. That well-known passage, doesn't it? They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They who wait on the Lord, they who seek after God, who walk in His ways and know His fear and have life, abundant life, renewing their strength, they will mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run, not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So consider this. Those, number one, who fear God shall not lack any provision, shall not lack anything, whether spiritual, emotional, physical. They shall not lack anything, those who fear the Lord. The Lord Jesus Himself said in Luke, in the Gospel of Luke chapter 12, He said of this in verse 31, He said, "Seek the kingdom of God, but seek the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added to you. We have need of nothing. Do not fear, little flock." He addresses us as lambs. He addresses us as those who need protection, as those who need to abide. "Fear, do not fear, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys." This is the true treasure, isn't it? And it is a treasure to fear God. As Max read earlier, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. As we heard this morning, the apostles, those who sold their possessions, laid their possessions, their proceeds at the apostles' feet. There was a oneness in the church, in the body. Sell what you have. Give alms. Provide money bags which do not grow old. Give of yourself. Give of your possessions. Do not fear, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Seek. What is this saying? Seek God first. Seek His kingdom first. Seek His will for your life first. So the ones who fear God shall not lack anything. And number two, the ones who fear the Lord know where they're going. They know where they're going. We know, as we read those verses on the Lord's return, on His coming. We know where we're going. And you know, in Luke, when the Lord addresses those who are really in fear and in danger of losing their lives, which today the persecuted church is that very example, is that living example to us. It's a privilege to pray for them. It's a privilege to give of our possessions, to give of our finances in this way. It's a privilege. You know, the persecuted church today really takes this word to heart. Do not fear those who kill the body, but then can do no more. But rather fear him. Rather fear him who has all power, who can kill the body, who can cast into hell. This is the awesome God. But he says to them and he encourages them, where there is great need, there is also a great and added mercy and blessing, isn't there? There is a great provision. There's a great provision for the persecuted church. And so the Lord says to us, if we fear him, do not fear those who can take away everything we have, our possessions, our very lives. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, according to Timothy. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This is how Paul addresses Timothy. God has not given you a spirit of fear. They should walk around terrorized. They should walk around fearing what's going to happen next. No. He has given us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, a spirit of a sound mind. And he says further, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. So the persecuted church is very real, in a very real sense, costing, feeling the cost of their lives, feeling the cost of loss of work because of their faith, feeling the cost in a real sense. And he says to Timothy, do not be ashamed. You've not got a spirit of fear. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Go out and preach the gospel. And Paul at this time, he says, I'm a prisoner, sharing my sufferings. Friends, if you preach the gospel without fear, as we've heard in these meetings, in this series, pastor's been in these weeks, we will share our faith without fear. If we fear God, we will not fear men. We will not fear their positions of pride. We will not fear men. We will be unashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. It's offensive to the natural man, as James said this morning. It is an offense. But it must be so to be effective. Whilst we don't go out of our way to offend people, to create barriers, we want to seek that which is lost to be saved. But by the very message of the gospel, by the very fear of God in us, by not doing what they do, by not going along with what they do, we are salt, we are light. And men will take note. Men will take note. So whilst the context of death and of physical harm wouldn't apply to us as much right now as it would to the persecuted, certainly what is written in the book of Timothy does apply. We would not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, but we'll go out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And number three, though terror and tremors abound, we will not fear. The Lord told us these things will be so, and he has. We don't live by fear. We live by faith. We live by trust. You know, in the book of Revelations, the writing to the church of Smyrna, the angel of the Lord writes, I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but yet you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews, say they are of the faith, but they are not. They're of the synagogue, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you're about to suffer. There you see the preparation of the Lord to his people who are going to experience pain. He says, do not fear any of the things which you're about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, that you may have, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I'll give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And he who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death, that final death. We will not fear though the earth be removed, though the literal mountains be cast into the sea. God's people will have a refuge. Children, you've been listening very well, and I want to direct something to you. I want to address you tonight. Do you know that the Lord Jesus holds you in his arms securely if you're his children? He holds you in his arms. You know when you run, probably the younger ones, when they run to mum and dad, when there's a freak storm or lightning or hail or thunder, don't you run to the arms of refuge, to the arms of security, to mum and dad's hand, to mum and dad's arms? Well, there are everlasting arms to all of us, to all you children. There are everlasting arms, God's arms. He says, do not fear, do not be afraid. Do you know, children, Jesus is coming back in the clouds, in great power, in great glory, with the sound of trumpet, with the voice of the angels. Won't that be a great feeling? It'll be a feeling of great awe and wonder, yes, and godly fear, but we will not be afraid. And only God can make that possible. Only God can make that possible in our hearts. Only God can make that possible in your hearts, children, that you not be afraid. Jesus is coming back. If you give your life to Jesus Christ, commit your life into his hands, you will not fear. You will not be afraid. I pray this word has helped us tonight, but over the course of these weeks, it's been an immense blessing to look into the scriptures and to desire to know the fear of the Lord. It's something that is going to take my whole life to work out. My whole life to work and walk in and abide in. I'm not going to go right to the hymn to sing it yet, but I want to read it out to you, hymn 150. And I want to bring out a couple of verses that relate to this hymn. And we've all got a hymn book there, so you might want to open your hymn book at 150. And it's probably well known among the children. When he cometh to make up his jewels. Some of us know that hymn, when he cometh to make up his jewels. All his jewels, precious jewels, his loved and his own. He will gather. And the third verse, little children who love their Redeemer. Well, the book of Malachi has a beautiful portion in this hymn. In the book of Malachi 3 and verses 15 to 17, the end of the Old Testament, Malachi says, verse 15, reading, "So now we call the proud blessed." Isn't that the day we live in? We call those who call good evil and evil good. That's the day we're in. That's the day we're in, friends. So now we call the proud blessed. That's what James said this morning, wasn't it? This is what's glorified. This is not okay in the church, he said. This is okay for the world, but not for the church. We call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free, seemingly. But there's a day coming. There's a day coming. Then those who fear the Lord, verse 16. Then those who fear the Lord spoke to one another. Amen. I trust that's us tonight. Those who fear the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. The Lord says he does not hear. He does not hear prayers which are made in iniquity. You know, so many people, just about everyone in the world prays. But with iniquity in the heart, bound in the heart, the Lord listens to those who fear him. And the Lord listened and heard them. And so a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. Precious jewels, precious jewels. They shall be mine, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. And that last part of Malachi, I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. If you look at Psalm 103:13, it says, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. There's a wonderful 8-page sermon from Spurgeon on that one verse. A detailed 8-page sermon. It's beautiful to read. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. Children, parents, young and old. Isn't it a joy to fear the Lord? Isn't it a joy to know that a book of remembrance is written before him for those who fear the Lord, for those who meditate on his name? And the Lord God says to us, they shall be mine. They shall be mine on the day that I make them my jewels. We don't deserve it, friends. We haven't earned it. No amount of our work or self-sacrifice can ever repay. But with thankfulness and contentment and gratefulness, we sing and we praise when he cometh, when he cometh to make up his jewels. Could we sing that hymn while we remain seated?